So, at large, the topic of my whole set of lecture from today till May deals with optimization problems, which essentially can be written as find the minima or the maxima of some function f from Rn to R over some subset D of Rn. Okay. Somehow this says all and says nothing at the same time. I will generally focus on minima. What does it mean, find the minima of this function over that set? It means find some x bar in Rn such that it satisfies two properties. The first one is to be in the set D, okay, which just can be called to, you can use the term, it is feasible, so this is a feasibility issue. Not all the points in the space are okay, we restrict our attention to D. The second condition is minimality, or optimality. They said that if you evaluate the function at x bar, the value is less or equal than this value is less or equal than the value of f at any x in the set D. Okay? If you deal with maxima, the only thing that changes here is that you are going to have greater equal. Okay? I will not talk about this for a few lectures, because we need to focus on some background material. Maybe some of you know it, may know it well or not so well, or may not even know it, okay? The students coming from our undergraduate program generally don't know the material I'm going to talk about. And the issues are two. One is of a topological nature, and I will deal with it today, since we have function on Rn, I need to give you some topological properties of Rn, some other properties of the space, some particular kinds of sets on the space, and some of their properties. And I will try to explain you why we are interested in, why we want to solve this problem. The other issue deals with function of several variables. Or another term that is generally used is multivariate calculus. So, I think some of you might be familiar, but if you have taken our undergraduate program, you just focus in the calculus course on the case n equal 1. Okay? And you have learned about derivatives and many other things, but for function of a unique variable.
Here we need to focus on calculus for function of several variables
because in no reasonable application an optimization problem has just one variable. Okay?
Generally this n is large.
So how many of you know calculus for function of several variables? Differentiability, gradient, and so on. I guess a few of you probably know. Okay? But this will be from, I think, from Tuesday onwards. Okay? And calculus will be the basis for everything. If you want to analyze how a function behaves, calculus gives you the basic tools. Okay?
I will review both issues, topological, let's say the structure of a range and function of several variables, generally giving you no proofs. Okay?
I just give you definitions, concepts, and relevant results that we will use. Okay? But generally, I will not give you proof. I'm not interested in these proofs at all. Okay, I probably will give you one or two because they are useful to understand the concept. Okay, so let me start. With Arend. Okay.
So I'm sorry if some of you will get bored because they know this stuff, but so we have Arend. Generally we consider on Arend the scalar or inner product given in the following way. You have two vectors of Arend. So x is x1 is x2, xn, and components and the same for y. The scalar product, you should know from linear algebra, from numerical analysis, is this quantity, which is given by the sum from I equal 1 to n of xi, yi. The sum of the products of the components. Okay? In turn, this scalar product on Arend provides a norm on Arend. The Euclidean norm. The norm, the Euclidean norm on a vector on a ring, you are familiar with numerical analysis, this is the two norm, is nothing else than the square root of the scalar product of the vector with itself. Okay. So if you apply the definition here, it's nothing else than the square root of the sum of the line of xi squared. Okay? Okay, I can tell you there are other inner products and there are other norms which come from the a scalar product in the same way. Okay? But we focus on this, which is the most common one.
Okay?
So the norm has a set of properties that we will use often, which are the following. First of all, so The norm of a vector is always greater or equal than zero. Okay? It's the square root of this positive quantity, so
it's greater or equal than zero. You don't have even to prove it.
If you multiply a vector by a number, okay, you take the vector alpha x, whose components are alpha x1, alpha x2, alpha xn, the norm of this vector is related to the norm of x in the following way. It's the norm of x times the absolute value of alpha. So the norm of 2x is 2 times the norm of x. Okay? The norm of minus x, you just switch the sign, is equal to the norm of x, and so on. Other relevant property, which is very, very easy to check, which vector has zero norm? Okay, means that this quantity is zero. So this has to be zero. But it's a sum of squares of positive, of non-negative numbers. A sum of non-negative numbers can be zero if and only if all the numbers are zero. So the unique vector whose norm is zero is the zero vector. Okay, generally, but so zero vector is the vector whose components are all zero. Okay, the origin of Rn. Other relevant property is the following: if you sum two vectors, okay, let's say in R2. This is x, and this is y. If you take their sum, you know that this is vector. Okay. The norm of this vector is less or equal than the sum of the norms of the two vectors. Okay? If you want to say geometrically, the norm of a vector is this length. Okay? So the length of this is less or equal than the length of this plus the length of this. We will use also this inequality, which is for the difference of two vectors. Okay. Notice, the difference of two vectors can be considered as the sum of x plus the vector minus y. Okay. You apply this property and this property, and what you get is that, once again, the norm of the difference is less or equal than the sum of the norms. Just consider it as the sum of x with minus y, and apply this and this. Last property, which is very relevant, is for inequality. Which is the unique one, which would need some machinery to prove. And it says, okay, let's take the scalar product of two vectors, x and y, and let's take the absolute value. Okay? This is less or equal than the product of the norm of the two vectors, x and y. Okay? You can find the proof of this inequality in any textbook on linear algebra. Okay? And actually, it just involves
knowing the roots of an equation of degree two. Okay? But it's a trick. We will use this, okay? This inequality, and I will always tell you the sparse inequality.
Okay. Once you have a norm on a range, you also can define a concept of distance. What is the distance between two vectors or two points of a range?
Okay. I will use both the word point and vector, making no difference. After you should consider the point, if you consider the point in the space and the vector, its difference will be obvious. Okay, but I will not make the distinction precisely. Point per vector, it's always this. Okay, I mean both.
Well, the distance between two points of the space, between two vectors, is nothing else than the norm of the vector x minus y, which by this property is equal to the norm of y minus x. It doesn't make any difference. And if you apply the definition, this is nothing else than the square root of the sum. The components of this vector are xi minus yi, so you take the square.
Okay? This is the distance we learned since high school or intermediate school. Okay? The Euclidean distance. Okay. Generally, when we speak of distance, we mean this. Okay. So, we have our space. On our space, we have a scalar product, a linear product, which gives you a norm, which in turn gives you a distance. Okay. With the properties of the norm, we can deduce a number of properties for the distance. Okay? And which are the distance?
First of all, the distance between two vectors is always greater or equal than zero, because it's the norm of a vector.
When is it that the distance between two vectors is between two points x and y is zero? So it means that the two vectors are the same vector. And it is what we know from experience in geometry in high school, okay? If the distance between two points is zero, the two points are the same. Okay? And it comes from this one. Okay? This distance is zero, it means that the vector is zero. So this comes even only the two vectors are the same. And we will use these two, okay? Sometimes to prove that a point is what we want, we prove that the distance from what we want is zero. Okay? And then there is a last property, which is known as the triangular inequality. Which says that the distance between two points, let's say x is here and y is here, this is the distance between the two points, it's less or equal than the distance of x from any other point z in the space
plus the distance between Z and Y. Okay, so here it means simply that this is shorter than this plus this. Okay? That's the reason of the name triangular network. How do you prove this? See? Just write the distance x, so the norm of x minus y, in this way. X minus z plus z minus y. Okay. This is zero, so it is exactly the same thing. Okay, and then as you have used this, you apply this property to these two vectors, and you are done. Okay, so is everything clear? Do you have any questions?
Must be linearly dependent from each.
No, it could be also here.
If it is here, this
is equal. Okay. Lesser equal means also that it can. Doesn't mean it's less. It can be also equal. So, if it's in the segment which unites x and y, that is an equal. Okay. But if it is linear dependent, then it is here. No, because it would be this plus this. Okay. So if it is in the segment, it is equal. Actually, you can prove that this is equal if and only if z belongs to the segment which unites x and y. Okay. When you studied calculus, one of the topics were sequences of numbers. Okay? 1, 3, 7, 9, 2, and so on. Okay? Now I want to deal with sequences of points in a row. Okay? Why am I interested in sequence of points? The reason is the following. When we are building some algorithms for finding the minima of the maxima of a function over a set, we will construct sequence of points. Okay? The algorithms will create a sequence of points, and in some way, let me say very, very informal, the last of them will be the point we are looking for. Okay? What is wrong in my statement is the word last. Okay? I will make it precise in a minute, because it will be somehow the limit of the point or a cluster point or point of accumulation. Okay? So I'm going to make this formal now, because all algorithms will construct sequences of points. So, what is a sequence? Well, a sequence is what you imagine naturally. A sequence is, let's say, a collection of points, xk, where the index k
changes in the set of natural numbers
of points of a rank. Let's say the sequence is x1, x2, xk, and so on,
up to infinity, where x1, x2, and xk, and so on, are all points of a rank. Okay? So this is a sequence. Okay, all my examples will be in R2, because it's the only meaningful space with n greater than 1 that I'm able to draw pictures. Okay, so x1, x2, x3, x4, x5, and so on. Okay, this is what a sequence is. Is a sequence, let me say it informally, going somewhere, okay? Or it is just going around the space, okay? Or is it going to some place, to some specific point, okay? It looks like that this sequence is going to this point. I want to make this formal. Given a sequence of points in Rn, a point x bar in Rn is the limit of the sequence xk if no matter how small I take a value epsilon greater than zero, from some point on, the distance of the point xk from x bar will be less or equal than x bar. So formally, given epsilon, if k is greater or equal than some value k star, then the distance of xk from x star is less or equal than epsilon. What it means? Okay, I have this point, okay, this can be a limit if after some value k bar, all the next points are closer to this point than the distance, sorry, for this point from this one is less or equal than x, okay? It means no matter how small I take epsilon, sooner or later, the sequence will be closer than epsilon to the point forever. Okay?
But the k is the last point.
No, no.
K
is bar.
Oh,
no, sorry. Oh. For all k greater or equal than k bar.
Ah.
I'm sorry, I wrote it wrong. Clearly here you can replace the distance with the norm of the distance. Okay? It's the same by definition.
But if
k. For all k greater or equal than k bar.
If
the point of the sequence.
Ah, it's a point of...
Yeah. Okay, the sequence is a is you have points in Arend which are numbered. Okay, it means from a point onwards it will be. Okay, if you go to the case you already know, the case of numbers, R, okay, this distance is nothing else than the absolute value, okay? So if you think these are numbers and here you take the absolute value, you will find the definition, again, the definition of a sequence of points in R, of numbers, okay? Now I'm going to give you an example. First of all, a notation. How a limit is generally denoted? In this way. The limit for k that goes to plus infinity of xk is equal to x bar, or in another way, which is more easy, xk goes to x bar as k goes to plus infinity, and often, if this is clear, you cancel. You just write xk arrow x bar. Okay? These are notations that will be used. So let's make an example in R2. Suppose the generic point xk is a point in R2 with this component. The first is 1 over k, and the second one is 1 over k squared. Okay? So, for k equal 1, I get the point 1, 1. This is x1. Okay. For k equal 2, I get 1 half, 1 fourth. So it's 1 half here. Let's say 1 fourth here. Okay. For k equals 3, I get 1 third and 1 over 9. And so on. The sequence is done this way. Okay? So, what is the limit of this sequence? Okay, this sequence is approaching, getting closer and closer to the vector 0. 0, 0. Okay? So, the limit of this sequence is 0, 0. Okay? I'll leave you an exercise, which is easy. I gave the definition of the limit, and I wrote here the limit, okay? Implicitly telling you it's the unique, the limit is unique. But actually you have to prove it from the definition, okay? So, the limit is unique. Prove, you make it a proof by contradiction. You say, let's suppose there are two different limits, and you apply the definition between the two points, and you will see that the distance between the two points has to be zero. So, distance is zero if the two points are zero. Okay, there's another thing that I'm implicitly saying. The limit always exists. Okay? This is false. I give you another thing. And the sequence is the following. Xk is equal to Okay, I'll give you two examples. The point whose components are both k. Okay. So the sequence here is point 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, and so on. Okay. This sequence is not going to any point. Okay. We could informally say it is going to infinity, but it's not going to any point. So this sequence does not have a limit. The other example I want to give you is the following. And the sequence is k is given this way. Is 1 over k, the first component. Well, the second component is minus 1 to the power of k. Okay? So, let's throw this in R2. So, for k equal 1, this is 1 minus 1. So, okay, let me take different scales here. So this is minus 1, and this is 1. Okay. So this point is here. Let's take k equal 2. The point is 1 half, and then minus 1 squared, so 1. So the point is here, 1 half 1. Then we make 1 third. No, we take k equal 3. So it is 1 third, and this is minus 1 cubed, so it's minus 1, so the point is here. Similarly, 1 fourth is, for k equal 4, we have 1 fourth 1. 1 fifth we have k equal 5, we have 1 fifth minus 1, and so on. Okay, so the sequence is jumping from this line to this line. Okay, this is x1, this is x2, this is x3, this is x4, x5, x6, x7. And so on. Okay? This sequence does not have a limit. Okay? You see, just take this point. These points are going here, let's say roughly. Okay? These points are going here. They are not going to the same, okay? So, if I say, okay, the limit is this. This is not true, because x6 is far. X7 will be far. X8 will be close, sorry. X7 will be close, but x8 will be far again. Okay, and so on. So, whenever you take this value, if this is satisfied for the odd numbers, it is not satisfied by the even numbers, and vice versa. So, this sequence does not have a limit. But you could make a remark to me. Oh, this sequence does not have a limit. But if I consider just the odd numbers, this sequence has a limit here in 0, minus 1. And if I take the even number
as the so x2, x4, x6, x8, and so on are going to this point, 0, 1.
Okay?
But if the sign in the definition of limit,
yeah,
if the sign can't be belonged to a sequence, can't be.
No, it's fixed. It depends on epsilon.
No, it's assigned. It's assigned.
It's fixed.
No, no, this, yes, it belongs, can be, cannot belong to.
Oh, no, it can, okay, if it belongs to the sequence, it means that the sequence is equal to that point from a certain point onwards. Da un certo punto in poi è sempre uguale.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Generally, the limit is not a point of the sequence.
Ah, okay.
Okay?
So, but if I consider this as a sequence, it has a limit. If I consider this other as a sequence, as an independent sequence, it has a limit.
Okay? So, this gives us two concepts. The concept of a subsequence. I have a sequence. I take away points from that sequence. I select points. Okay?
I select an infinite number of points, and I consider them independently. This is another sequence. This is the sequence with odd indexes. This is the sequence with pair indexes. Okay? So, a subsequence is a selection taken from the sequence, not all the points of the sequence, with a unique property. So, are not all xk, but some xkj, now j belongs to n, with the unique property that kj goes to plus infinity as j goes to plus infinity. In our example, we have, if we take kj to be equal to j, we have the subsequence with even indexes. If we take kj to be 2j minus 1, we have the sequence of odd with odd indexes. Okay? So, these are subsequences of a sequence, of the given sequence. Okay?
A subsequence is obtained from a sequence extracting points, an infinite number of points. Okay?
And then we can consider a subsequence as a new independent sequence, where the index is no longer k but is j.
Okay?
So we can rename.
This would be,
let's go with another letter. This would be y1, this would be y2, y3, and so on. And this would be y1, y2, y3, and so on.
Okay.
And maybe this sequence has a limit. In this case, if you consider this new sequence, it has a limit. It is this point. If you consider this sequence, it has a limit. It is this point.
Okay.
So, here's the other definition, which is the definition of cluster point, or point of accumulation. So, x star in Rn is a cluster point. Of the sequence There exists a subsequent XKJ such that X bar is the limit of the subsequence. It has, considering this notation, the limit for xkj, where now is j that goes to plus infinity, is equal to x bar. Okay? In this example, there is no limit, but both 0 minus 1 and 0, 1 are cluster polynomials. Okay? Is it clear? Why I'm interested in cluster points? Because when we will generate an algorithm, we will generate sequences, it could be that the sequence does not have a limit. Okay? But generally, it will have cluster points. Okay? Another exercise, just an application of the definition. If the limit of a sequence exists, it is the unique cluster point. Okay? Because the whole sequence goes approach that point. So also all the subsequences will approach that point. Okay? And a relevant result, so the up to now we just consider definition, is the Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem. Okay. Bolzano was an Italian mathematician and Weierstrass a German one. Let's suppose that we are given a sequence. Okay. And suppose that the norm of all the vectors of the sequence is less or equal than some threshold n. So there exists a positive value n such that the norm of all the vectors of all the points of the sequence is less or equal than n. Okay? Then the sequence has at least one cluster point. Okay? If you have a sequence of points, and all the norms are bounded by the same quantity, okay? Let's say for instance n is equal to 1, okay? All the points of the sequence are norm less or equal than 1, I can build a subsequence
which has a limit.
Suppose it's a 2k or 2k or...
Yes, yes.
For example, suppose that for all k, right?
So, I think we can take a short break and then I will discuss some topological properties, starting exactly from this condition. Okay?